the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. And long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. When Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Oh, under the knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh,
welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman. I'm glad you're with me on this wonderful Sunday, and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. That was David Phelps' O Holy Night. It's probably one of my favorite recordings of one of the greatest carols ever recorded. We're going to be celebrating Christ. We've got a great Bible study in John 15. I hope you will be turning in your Bibles there. But let's continue with some wonderful, wonderful Christmas music. But first, let's pray. Lord, thank you for everyone that is listening. Thank you for this opportunity to praise and worship you. I pray you would bless this program, use it. Pray for all those that are out there on the different places watching, whether islands or mainland or wherever, that they would be encouraged and have a moment to really focus on Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Thank you, Lord. We commit this time. If anybody doesn't know you, they come to know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That was the Piano Guys, O Come, Emmanuel. The Piano Guys are an amazing group of musicalists. Generally, there's one guy that plays like the cello, that kind of instrument, and then the other guy plays the piano, or they play both piano. One of the individuals several years ago ended up having, I would assume, a suicide in his life. So, and I know during this time you're missing people out there. So he wrote a song for his daughter, Annie. And I will just let him explain it and then lead into the song. And I hope it encourages you to know that God is with you. There are people who can relate. And I will let him explain right now, one of the Piano Guys, and listen to this wonderful, wonderful song. And think of that one that you have lost. May God give you strength for the seasons ahead.
So last year was a really tough year for us. We lost our daughter, Annie. People talk about grief, pain, fear, sorrow. All of these words can't really describe how you feel when you really go through the loss of a loved one. And even though we held on to hope that we would somehow see her again, it was just a brutal time that we were going through, right at Christmas. And it felt pretty hard to celebrate. And then I found this song. It was just this video on Facebook by this Christian artist, and he was singing about the very struggle I was having. As my wife and I listened to the words of this song, it expressed exactly what we were feeling. And it also gave us what we needed at the time, and that was comfort. So many people struggle with loss at this time of year, not just me. If you are missing someone this Christmas, I want to dedicate this song to you. And I also want to dedicate it to Annie, my sweet Annie, who I miss very much.
Christmas really hurts this time, 'cause you're not here to celebrate with me. Tears fill my eyes and memories flood my mind as I place your ornament upon our tree. Although this year I have a broken heart, it gives me hope and joy as I remember where you are. You're with the Son of God, you're with the Prince of Peace, you're with the one we're celebrating, and that thought amazes me. Sometimes I still break down, grieving that we're apart. But the sweetest gift is knowing where you are. You're with the Son of God. Got your picture in the frame, in a stocking with your name. Oh, God knows it's been hard letting go. And I can't bring you back, but I'll see you again. And oh, that thought is healing to my soul. I'll miss making angels with you in the snow. I guess instead you will be singing with them all around God's throne. You're with the Son of God, you're with the Prince of Peace, you're with the one we're celebrating, and that thought amazes me. Sometimes sometimes I still break down, grieving that we're apart. But the sweetest gift is knowing where you are, 'cause you're with the Son of God. And I know the Christmas season was your favorite time of year. You love to help us decorate our tree. But now that you're with Jesus, can't imagine how you feel, 'cause he's the one who bled and died upon the tree for you and me. You're with the Son of God, you're with the Prince of Peace, you're with the one we're celebrating, and that thought amazes me. Sometimes I still break down, grieving that we're apart, but the sweetest gift is knowing. Yes, the sweetest gift is knowing where you are. Yes, the sweetest gift is knowing you're in his arms. You're with the Son of God.
I want to tell you, if you're struggling, don't be suicidal. You need to call 911, get with a friend, but your life is worth living. During this time, you lose somebody, you start not thinking right, and thinking right is that you think life would be better without you. I might be speaking to somebody right now. I want you to know that God loves you and died for you and rose from the dead so he can give you a life. You are valuable. And I'm speaking to somebody. There might be one person. I encourage you, you can email me, put you in touch with somebody who can help. It's MATHEWV as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N @gmail.com. And I just don't want you to do something that would be foolish during this season. And some of you may be like, why is he talking about that? Because that happens. And I want to make sure that we are proactive in suicide prevention. 988, you can call or even chat. And you can hit number one if you're a veteran. It's just a wonderful resource you have. Save that in your phone. It might be useful to give somebody. All right, let's move on to the Bible study. What do you say? Let's jump right into the Bible study. This is one I recorded from my YouTube channel, By the Bible, but you are going to be blessed. John 15, not because of me, but because of the Word of God. Let's jump right into it. And then we will finish with all Christmas music, because it is the season for us to celebrate the birth of the Savior. How do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or a bigger question we should wonder about is, how does Jesus want us to have a relationship with him? It's a totally different thing. One is, we're making it from our perception and our demands and our saying it's got to be this way. The other way says, what do you say, Jesus? We're in John chapter 15. It's good to be back in the Word. If you wanted to get part of chapter 14, you can watch previous episodes. Be sure and hit the subscribe bell. We're here to look at the Word of God. John 15, I'm Pastor Matthew. Hi, your Bible study coach on By the Bible. And I'm so glad you are with me as we're going through the Gospel of John. We also have great interviews. I have some fun Bible questions on the shorts, and I just hope you will use this site. Put a comment, a question, your favorite book of the Bible and verse. I'm in my nice little Alaska flannel because I live in Alaska. So let's jump right into it. John 15. All right, I'm the vine. So Jesus knows he's dying. In John chapter 13, we see that Judas Iscariot. I think this is a sad verse. Let's be honest. John 13. We need to open the Bible because we're studying the Bible. John 13, verse 30. Want to back up? Satan, Judas has left. He says, he then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. That's Judas Iscariot. Satan has come into him. We find that out up here in verse number 27. And after the sup, Jesus, that's putting the stuff in the bread and the juice or the crackers, and then getting them to eat. Satan entered into him, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake there this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. So he's going out to make a deal, and he's going to betray Jesus Christ. Jesus is talking with his men, knowing within maybe moments they're going to come and arrest him. He's got to get them ready by emphasizing some things, so when he's gone, they'll know what to do. Look at John 15. He says, he's going to use a vine analogy. Most of us, we don't need to be first century grape farmers to understand this. Say corn, but vines, a lot of people would have known it. We understand a vine, and then there's fruit, and there's sprouts. We don't plant a grape. They weren't planting grapes to get anything other than grapes. I'm the true vine. So the first question we got to ask, do we really think he's the true vine? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Is he the absolute? We have a lot of other vines we run after. But here he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So he's using an analogy based on grape horticulture, agriculture. He says, I represent the vine. Okay, the vine's the key part. It's grafted in. I mean, it's rooted in. He says, my Father is the husband, the manager, the farm, the one who is managing the vine crop. So God represents that. Jesus, of course, is God in the flesh. Every branch in me, so he's talking about the offshoots, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Let me express to me and everyone, this is important because it sets the stage for how he saw us relating to him. He says, we're the branches, obviously. And he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I want you to think about that for a minute. Who's he talking about? People that really are dead. I wrote down something in here, reality. We have the dead, the ones that aren't bearing fruit. They're cut. They're thrown away. It'd be the lost folks. A little bit more. He says, but he in every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, right there, you see, if you're alive, Jesus is going to, there's going to be pruning. There's going to be developing. He doesn't want us just to kind of stay stagnant. He's going to, somebody that's pruning like a rose bush, more roses. Here, more grapes, you got to prune it. That's what the Father's doing in our life. And it can be painful, right? Put a comment if you think, amen, it can be painful. So he says, yeah. And then I love this next thing. Of course, the goal is for the fruit of God in your life. He says, now we all are clean through the word which I've spoken to you. So I wrote down here, dead, he cuts it or casts it away. Alive, he prunes it. We're clean through what? Through our religious works? No, through the word. He says, you're clean. You're clean. You're pure. You're set right. Abide in me. Say abide if you're at home. I know it sounds kind of preachy, but say it because it's important. Abide is the idea. Romans would have thought about you're grounded in this relationship. Abide means you survive adversity. You're steadfast. You abide at your post if you're guard, meaning you don't leave it. The idea of dwelling in that place, staying, continuing. He says, abide in me. There's a command. Do we abide in Jesus? Do we stay in Jesus? Do we have a relationship with Jesus? I'm sitting here on the chair. Well, I'm going to get up. I'm not abiding on the chair in a minute. If I get up and go to the bathroom, I'm not abiding. Are we, could you and I classify our relationship with God and Jesus as we're abiding? Think about it. Would my relationship with Jesus be such that I'm staying continued? I'm reading this from my notes down here. I'm saying it's adversaries, adversity, steadfast, or is it something else? And you're not abiding. He says, abide in me and I in you. The relationship. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no man can ye, except you abide in me. What is the key in the Christian life? Abide. Because that is a description of somebody that has a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. Is your relationship with Jesus one that is abiding? He says the only way you can have fruit. Now, do we produce fruit? Some of you know the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Let me turn to Galatians chapter 5. I want to show you something. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5 in your New Testament. We go on past Corinthians. First, second, you got Acts. So you got Romans, you got the Corinthians. And we get to Galatians. I want to read something to you because you're like, well, what's the fruit? There's a lot of different ideas of fruit, but let me give you one of them. Paul writes Galatians, one of his first letters he wrote. Oop, there I am. All right, here's what he says. Verse 22 of chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I want you to notice two things that verse. He mentioned all those things. He says fruit. God wants to have that kind of fruit in our life. You want a fruitful ministry, fruitful life, fruitful family. It's the key. He spells it out right back here in John 15. Abiding in me and I in you. You should underline that in your Bible. I've got a pencil here, a highlighter. I'm going to do that just right now. Get one. And I know maybe you're like, I never write in my Bible. Well, you're going to write this because look, this is important. So I've got my Bible. I'm going to do it right now. Abide in me and I in you. That's it. That's the key. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear, so he says, you can't do what you need to be doing of having fruit unless you're abiding in me. Verse 5, I am the vine. So who's the source? Who's the one that we get our nourishment? Who's the one we're grafted in? Who's the one that we're connected with? Jesus. He says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me and I am him. So he gives the results of that. He says, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I made a note down here. Am I really convinced that without him I can do nothing? Or do I think, a lot of times I think I can do something. But he's real clear. The only way you can do something and have fruit is if you abide in Jesus. Let's go to verse 6. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they burn. So they would understand this. Great, but we get that. This isn't something where you have to have a degree in agriculture to understand this verse. He says, there's some folks, if a branch, it's, you know, it withers, it dies, they grab it, they just throw it into the fire, and it's burnt up. You know what? I think what that's talking about, not loss of salvation, because I can prove to you, you can't lose your salvation. You can do Romans 8, where he says nothing will separate you from the love of God. John 10, where he says we're held in God's hands and you can't lose your salvation. But I think what it's talking about is false belief. Like Judas Iscariot, the man that was watching the money, the man that had been with them for 3 years, they would have said, oh, that's one of the guys. That's a real disciple. The problem was he had no relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, he's going to betray Jesus Christ. Well, he'll be burned up. In the same way with any false professing believer, when they die and stand before God, they may have sing Christmas songs. Right now I'm thinking of Christmas. Church songs. They may have little quoted verses. But they don't have that relationship. They will be burned in hell. The Bible's very clear. I was disappointed to see Kirk Cameron's wiggling on that. But that's a whole nother story. Let's go on. Verse 7. So what is the benefit of having a relationship? Well, one we've looked at, you're going to bear fruit. If ye abide in me, now notice what he says next, and this will give you more insight into abiding. And my words abide in you. Is it possible outside of the word of God to truly abide in Christ? Think about that for a minute. If I don't have the word, so I can say I'm abiding in Christ, well, what is the standard that he looks for? Are we abiding in his word? It's connected. He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So is he saying, name it and claim it, I just asked? No! He's saying your prayer life is alive and you're getting your request. Why? Because your life is aligned with Jesus Christ and God Almighty. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I want you to dig into this psalm verse I'm going to show you. Ooh, this is a good one. Psalm 37:4. This is kind of what I think he's saying. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, verse 5. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He's not saying you're going to get everything you want because you're asking. If you're aligned with Christ, abiding in Christ, you're going to be asking by the will of Christ, by the word of God. And of course, he will answer that. So when you're praying for lost people, praying for your spirit, praying for your life, praying for things that are of God, he will answer that because your life is connected. You're aligning to Christ. You're flowing. Verse 8. Now we see what he called if you're abiding by God. Herein is my Father glorified. We talked about glory, or I've talked about it before. I don't remember if we talked about it in the last Bible study. But glory is the idea. Chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So glory is the idea of God's reputation. When in the Old Testament, when he came down in his glory, his presence, God wanted, when Jesus went to the cross, he showed God's glory. He honored God's glory. Well, here in John 15, he says, herein is my Father glorified. Do you care about glorifying God? Do you want to lift up God? Do you want to show the world who God is? Of course, everyone should, and especially if you're abiding in Christ, you'll want to. He says that ye may bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. Disciples, the follower. It's what he says when he says, follow me, and they bring their allegiance to Jesus. So he says, when somebody bears much fruit, they bring the Father glory. How do you bring much fruit? Back it up. By abiding. Everything should be on abiding. So are you abiding? Am I abiding? Think about that as we continue through the Gospel of John next time. We'll be in verse 9. Read ahead, but think about that. A couple things to ask yourself. One, am I abiding in Christ? Two, am I committed to his word, living by the Bible, and I'm abiding by it? Three, do I try to do the work, or do I understand God does the work? Only you know the answer to that. I hope in the days ahead, one thing that will be said of all of us is we're disciples of Jesus because there's a lot of fruit, because that will reflect if we have chosen to obey and abide as we're living for Jesus Christ, and orchestrating our life by the Bible.
Even though Silent Night is one of the most popular songs in history, the fact that we know it at all is a miracle. Created out of necessity and performed in a tiny village on a solitary Christmas Eve by two ordinary Austrians in a tiny choir, this incredibly beautiful and simple carol owes its debt to an organ that wouldn't play and a priest who wouldn't hold Mass without special music. In 1818, 25-year-old Joseph Moore was the assistant priest at St. Nicholas Church in Oberndorf, Austria. During an extremely cold winter, Moore was making last-minute preparations for a special Christmas Eve Mass, a service he had been planning for months. And as he cleaned and readied the sanctuary, the priest encountered an unfathomable dilemma. St. Nicholas's organ would not play. A frantic Moore struggled with the old instrument for hours, making adjustments, fiddling with the keys, stops, pedals, even crawling behind the console to see if he could find the problem. In spite of his efforts, the organ remained silent, its voice as still as a dark winter's night. Realizing he could do nothing else, the priest paused and prayed for inspiration. He asked God to show him a way to bring music to his congregation on the year's most meaningful day of worship. Moore would find the answer to his prayer, born from events almost 2 years before St. Nicholas's organ played out. In 1816, Moore had written a Christmas poem, six unadorned stanzas, inspired on a winter's walk from his grandfather's home to the church. It lacked a melody, and he had never shared it with anyone. Moore dug the poem, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, from his desk and read over the words he had written 2 years before. Up until then, the verses hadn't meant that much to him, but as he saw them again, it was as if the Lord was tossing him a lifeline of hope. He shoved the worn paper into his coat pocket and rushed out into the night. Only hours before the Christmas Eve midnight Mass, the priest fought his way through snow-covered streets. Franz Gruber was a 31-year-old schoolteacher and a modest musician who attended St. Nicholas's Church. And as he struggled to stay warm in his drafty apartment over the schoolhouse, he heard an insistent knock at the door. He must have been surprised to open it and find Father Moore on the other side. By that time, the priest should have been busy preparing for services, not visiting old friends. After a quick Merry Christmas, Father Moore pulled the teacher to a small table and explained the problem they faced. After he convinced Franz nothing could be done to fix the organ, Moore showed him his poem. "Can you write music to these words that can be easily learned by our choir?" Moore asked. "Without the organ, I guess the song will have to be played on a guitar." The priest looked at the clock, saying, "Please, Franz, the time is so short." Studying the poem, Franz nodded his head. He had a look in his eye and a smile on his face that let the priest know he was up to the challenge. Confident again that God had a special plan for this night, Moore raced back across the snow to the church, leaving Gruber alone with his thoughts, a ticking clock, and a prayer of inspiration. A few hours later, the two friends met at St. Nicholas, and there, in a candlelit sanctuary, Gruber shared his new music with Moore. The priest approved. After learning the guitar chords, rushed it to the choir members, waiting to rehearse. What should have taken weeks was accomplished in hours. In the little time they had, Gruber and Moore taught the choir members the four-part harmonies to the last two lines of each verse. Just after midnight, Moore and Gruber stood in front of the main altar and introduced their simple little song. As they sang, they couldn't have guessed that Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht would be remembered not only the next Christmas in their small village, but almost 200 years later around the world. Despite its popularity, Silent Night remains in most minds what it was written to be, a simple, direct song of praise. Created to make a Christmas service more meaningful, it's as fresh today as it was that night at St. Nicholas's Church. As we hear the words, our thoughts return to another night when the world had seemingly gone dark, when hope had been silenced, when all of humanity's best efforts had come up short. a night when mankind received the greatest gift of all, a baby born to peasants, laid in a simple manger, the Savior of the world, God with us, Jesus.
Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir. Despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the
And this will conclude the Hour of Hope. And we've got one more great song. It was a song originally written about the second coming of Jesus Christ when he will judge the earth. But we associate it with Christmas. Do you know the song? Joy to the World. I have a question. Have you believed in him in your heart? If you haven't yet, pray with me right now so you're ready for his return and you can celebrate his birth with the true joy that only comes from knowing him. Pray with me. Tell Lord, I want to be saved. I believe you died for me. You rose from the dead. You are so good and I praise you. And I'm looking forward to your return in Jesus' name. Amen. You can reach out to me, Pastor Matthew Vroman, Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska, MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. If there's a specific Christmas carol you would like to hear coming up, I'd love to play it for you. God bless and have a great week. I'll see you next time. Amen and Merry Christmas.
And that our joy may be full. Good night.